Hi, I'm Brian Keller.
I'm Dan Fernandez.
And this is the 4th of July episode of This Week on Channel 9. Okay, and we're in the studio. Hope you enjoyed that patriotic intro there.
Yes.
Wasn't our original plan, right?
Yeah, we originally were going to do Roman candle chicken.
Right.
That's where two people stand about 10 feet away and shoot Roman candles at each other. First person to move loses. But we did try that in our test run.
Yeah.
And, safety first.
My pants caught on fire. So.
And that went right through our safety pants.
Yeah,
so
our plastic safety pants that you picked up from Home Depot.
So you're scarred for life. What is the big deal?
But maybe we'll get some footage of that test run here at the
yeah,
the
you'll see bonus. A clip of Brian screaming at the end. So that'll be great.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, so we got a lot of news.
Let's jump into it.
Jump into it.
Another acquisition.
I know. So this is PowerSet, Natural Language Search. They're great for Wikipedia. So if you do a search for like Channel 9 or whatever, It gives you natural language search. So to me, this is pretty interesting. Not so much, well, okay, so the obvious scenario is search engine search, where you can apply this and do natural search engine search for everything.
Right.
Image search. But I'd love it on the desktop. Or even in TFS, or make it available as an API for developers, where you have a natural language search capability where I can say, get me all check-ins from TFS that have changed from XYZ date.
Oh, yeah. So you mean like for running reports and things like that also?
Yeah. It gives me the list of files that have changed, or find me a slide with, you know, cute puppies in it, and it'll find you a slide with cute puppies.
Aww.
I know. Nice. So I think this is cool, and it certainly seems like a cool product.
Excellent. Good stuff. So Equipped, another way of purchasing Microsoft Office.
Yeah.
Seems like a subscription model. What's this one all about?
Yeah, so this is $70 a month, which is like $6.
$70
a year.
Yep.
$6 a month is what it averages out to. So you get Word, Excel, PowerPoint, OneNote. You get one care, and you can use it on up to three machines.
Wow.
So it's good for like a family, right? So you pay like one thing and you pay once. The other thing is Office Live Workspace, which is a great way for people to share docs.
Oh, yeah. We've had some videos on that.
Yeah, so you install the little icon or the application in Word, and it'll actually automatically send you. Like the big thing that I think Google Docs does well is make it really easy for somebody to share without having to pay. This Office Live Workspace is the exact same thing for anybody that owns Office, so definitely check it out, and they have a bunch of templates. It's sort of like a SharePoint Lite, similar, I guess, conceptually.
Oh, okay.
You can build a club site, a school site, a project site.
Oh, cool. Maybe I'll set one up for my softball team, figure out who's showing up every week.
Yeah, exactly. So you can put the schedule, and you can get alerted when stuff changes and all that cool integration.
Nice. Good stuff.
Cool stuff.
So Imagine Cup, another year of Imagine Cup.
Yes.
It's like the fifth year of Imagine Cup, I think, happening in France.
Yeah.
So we've got some people from Channel 9. Charles is over there. Laura's over there.
Yeah,
Max
Laura
is over
Foy.
There.
Max so Zuckerman, yeah.
8, 9, and 10 is represented.
Yes.
Kind of a shame they didn't ask us to go, but that's okay.
I think they made sure we didn't go.
Oh, yeah. but interesting that... we've got a special competitor this year.
Yeah, Long Zen. So a lot of people know Long Zen from I Started Something, and Frank Arrigo, and as well as the Liveside blog, called out that he's actually on the Soak team for Australia.
Nice.
So that'll be kind of cool if he wins.
Yeah.
I actually know somebody that would win.
Yeah.
Assuming he wins.
Interesting stuff. We'll find out soon. When does it wrap up?
I think it wraps up by next week.
Okay. Yeah, I noticed Joe Wilson is video blogging, so you could follow the whole thing right from
right.
Channel 8.
And
yeah.
Max is going to have a bunch of stuff. Charles is actually a judge, too, so like his schedule is like 12 hours, like start in the morning and just see contestants all day.
I don't think Charles has ever worked a 12-hour day. How's this going to work?
Hey-oh!
Hey-oh! Okay, so Facebook.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is, I'm sorry, who's it?
James Hamilton,
of course. So James Hamilton wrote up a nice summary about a Facebook talk that you can watch. Really interesting to think about how they store and serve up billions of photos from around the world. So it's interesting. I watched this whole presentation. They treat their profile pictures differently because the profile pictures get viewed an order of magnitude more often than just random, you know, party pictures or pictures of my graduation or what have you. So profile mm-hmm. pictures get their own treatment.
Interesting.
And then another interesting thing that that they talk about in here is that they never actually reclaim deleted storage space.
Yes.
So if you delete a file, it removes it from the index, so it's no longer accessible, but they never go back and reuse that space or try to defragment it. And a guy asked him about this during the talk, and he said, it's just not worth our time. It's the percentage of space that is made up of deleted storage space is just so tiny compared to all the new content that's being added. So that's pretty amazing. How do you think about, you know, not only storing, but then indexing and allowing people to search and find related pictures, billions of pictures? And
yeah, Facebook is like number one or number two in terms of photos on the web. So
yeah.
It's absolutely huge. And it doesn't have, like, even when they talk about it, they're not like Flickr in that they have like the large res, super high premium, but people still use it. And the reason why they use it is that social interaction with pictures.
Yep, tagging and everything. So
exactly.
Yep. So, interesting presentation there. And incidentally, this site, flowgram.com, that's pretty cool, too. That's actually where this presentation was hosted. This is the first time I'd seen Flowgram. I don't know if anyone else has seen it. But it allows you to put together ad hoc presentations. And it kind of looks like screencast, but as opposed to actually capturing the screen, it captures the content of what you're looking at, like a web page. And so rather than having to push the entire screen capture over the wire for each frame, it pushes the content of the web page, which is going to be a few hundred K maybe. And then you can say, hey, check out this portion of the website, and the presenter can scroll down, and then your web browser kind of scrolls down and they can highlight it. So pretty interesting stuff if you want to put together, you know, ad hoc presentations.
Cool.
Yeah.
So what's this?
Next one is PEX. So I talked about PEX a few weeks ago when Ed was on the show, and we talked about it being available from Microsoft Research. The first release was available. And so I went over and I visited with the PEX guys to talk about more in depth of what PEX does. So the basic premise is you write a unit test, you parameterize that unit test. So maybe you have, you know, int foo and string bar, and then it goes through and runs your code by exercising the unit test, and then it looks at all the different branches that are possible throughout your code, and it will change those input parameters so that it exercises as many of those branches as possible. So it drives your code coverage through the roof, and it can help you identify exceptions in your code that you may not have otherwise found.
So that would be something like when you talk about branches where I may be doing some logic based on the number.
Right.
And yep. It'll give you, like, you know, the lowest possible integer
right.
and the highest possible integer and a bunch of numbers in between to see how does it handle -1 or is your code going to freak out if you handle something else? And
yeah.
This is, whole thing is automated.
Yeah, this is completely automated. So you write your unit test once and you say PEXify it or whatever they call it, and then it goes through and it automatically creates all the input parameters to explore each one of those branches.
Cool.
If you want, we can take a look at a video clip.
Yeah, right? Let's look at the clip.
Okay.
Again, the test happily finishes.
Okay.
So now we have seen both cases here for the last condition. So the only thing that we haven't checked out yet is what if we negate this condition here. So we do that. We build another constant system where we now say, what is if C is negative?
Sure.
That's the constant solver for a solution. And so one solution is -1. Mm-hmm. And nobody cared about the other argument, so that can stay in null. And what will the program do? Well, when it calls the constructor, then
it throws the exception.
It will throw the exception.
Right.
So this will throw the exception, and because the capacity was negative. And then there's nothing else we can do. We have now gone through all the cases in the code and thoroughly tested the code by just using 3 test inputs. So with a random testing tool, you don't know really when to stop. You can come up with an arbitrary number of potential inputs, try them out. But here with PEX, we know that after 3 inputs, we are done. There's nothing else the program can do.
So some cool stuff there.
Yeah, yeah, very cool. So when do we get it in Visual Studio? When are we going to ship?
Well,
who are you working for?
So I can't really say right now. Right, they're working closely with the Visual Studio Team System Group.
You can't say, but you can give a hand signal. Okay, cool.
Yeah, so yeah, it's the bird for sure. I don't know what that means, but
bird.
You know,
okay, four
there's
letters.
Your first clue.
Okay, good.
Yeah, they are working with the Visual Studio Team System team to have that nicely integrated. And you can imagine having that integrated with Team Build and Team Foundation Server so that it just automatically pexifies everything. And
it would be very cool.
Yep, definitely.
It would be very cool.
Definitely. So speaking of cool stuff, Amanda Silver.
Yeah, so Amanda talked about everything about Visual Basic 2008. She was giving a talk at TechAid as well as the future of Visual Basic. And there's a bunch of stuff, obviously, they can't talk about at PDC. And we've now announced that there's going to be the future of VB session at PDC, which we'll talk about later.
Yep.
But one of the things people don't understand is people in especially DevDiv, just because we work from DevDiv, like we know they're ridiculously passionate about their products. But when a ship date comes and you have to get the integration done, sometimes even features that are built don't get checked into the product. Like they literally just don't have time because it'll destabilize everything. You need to go through all these different labs and then come back. Like they just don't do it. So this is Amanda giving her perspective on one of the features that like just didn't make the cut. Because it's literally like, you know, choosing which kid is going to drown. It's like the worst decision like you have to make to say, okay, we can only ship, you know, 3 of these features and 8 of them, 7 of them are built and you have this other one, 8, that's also great. So it's a really hard decision. So here's Amanda. I think we actually hug it out during this.
Aww.
So, yeah.
I'm used to the fact that I need to have line continuation characters in some cases. So like where it's really painful is where I have I have parameterized methods and I'm passing in a whole list of arguments and, you know, I don't want my screen to go this way, I want it to go this way.
Right, where like each parameter would be on one line.
Yeah.
So it's easy to visually see what you're doing.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
And today I have to have a line continuation character at the end of that.
Right.
So, but you've kind of gotten used to that, just like in your favorite, you know, word processing application. You kind of gotten used to that. And so you're kind of used to the idea that every time I have a really long method call with a really long parameter list, I need to do comma, you know, space underscore, comma, space underscore, comma, space underscore. And so it kind of just didn't get as painful. It's not as painful anymore. So we actually didn't really get it as like a top request for the last couple of releases because everybody's kind of gotten numb to that fact, right?
Sure.
But in 2008, when we released there are two things that really kind of exacerbated the situation.
I'm guessing Link.
One is query, where it's just natural to have it on multiple lines.
Right.
And the other one is the XML literals. We did with the XML literals was we decided that XML, because it's not line oriented, would not require the underscore character, so it would just not automatically flow it. But you know, if I had, let's say, a VB embedded expression in that XML literal,
that expression
needs to have line continuation characters. So it's very confusing to some users, like when I have, you know, a VB expression and when I'm in XML mode versus when I'm in VB mode, and so. So I think the introduction of those two features has kind of made that line continuation character a pain point again. And, you know, that's kind of more at the top of our minds.
And that was
right
one of the things you were like, man, if I could just work one more weekend
sneak
us by test.
Exactly,
okay.
Exactly. And you know.
But do you think it's feasible? Is it something that's feasible?
It is absolutely, I've seen it with my eyes.
Yeah, so this next thing is XNA Starter Kit. A robot game. So, ridiculously generic name, but this is a Korean software company called Zepeto that made this. It's a starter kit, all written in C#. The models are available, all the weapons, all the levels, all that stuff is just in XML. So you can literally build, create this game. All you need is the Creators Club, because this is a Creators Club premium starter kit. Mm-hmm. But you can take the game, mod the game. It actually includes first player and split screen, so you can play against somebody else too in a 3D way. So you can take these models and, you know, basically go to town with them.
And it'll play on the PC and on the Xbox.
As far as I know.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think this is
local multiplayer split screen.
Right.
Got
right.
it. Cool. Good stuff.
Yeah, so check that out.
Okay. So we talked about Velocity a few weeks ago.
Yes.
So this is, what is this? Is more information about Velocity? It's a walkthrough?
Yeah, so the paper we pointed to before was like how it all works, why it's a good thing to have, etc. Bart Desmet, who I think used to be an MVP, and then we apparently hired them at some point, he walks through step by step. One, here's the quick overview of how it works, but he actually goes through and sets everything up. So this is one of the things, especially when you're working with CTPs, where there really isn't great instructions on everything you need to do to set it up on ASP.NET and on a server and on a multi-server and the command lines and how can you make sure that it's on, operating, etc. So he walks through step by step. So people that want to actually try Velocity, go check out this blog post.
Nice. Maybe I'll do that this weekend. So Sandcastle source code published to CodePlex.
Yes.
But the ironic thing is, no documentation. What's
I
up
know.
With that?
How can you be saying the tool for documentation? They have no documentation.
No, we're kidding, of course. But the Sandcastle source code really is posted got.net.
You did. Yeah.
To CodePlex.
Yes.
So that's very cool.
Yeah, apparently some people got upset that they actually removed Sandcastle from some time because it didn't include, it had the MSPL license but didn't include the source code. So it's kind of funny that the CodePlex policed them into actually releasing the source code.
Oh, is that what happened here?
Yeah,
nice.
It's kind of funny.
Nice.
So this is great, though,
yeah,
that it's in there. So yeah, it was in violation of the CodePlex rules. Was the
way to go, CodePlex.
Yeah, exactly. They got muscle.
Yep. And PDC 2008. So
yeah, PDC update.
Mike Swanson has been doing a great job as the content master. I don't have to say that he's not my boss anymore. He's been doing an okay job. Yeah, but
slacker.
No, seriously, we talked about his genetic algorithm that he's using to do a lot of the session scheduling, and he's been releasing a little bit of more and more content each month to show what the
beginning of each month. He lists a bunch of new sessions, and here's the challenge: is there's so many things that have different disclosure times.
Oh yeah,
there's a bunch of secrets we have coming out on PDC that we haven't disclosed. So he always has to work and finagle with all the different teams on what words they can actually say and what they can't. So.
Yep. But here are a few of the highlights from the July 1st update.
Yes.
So future of VB and C#. That's when we're going to tell people that we're killing C# in favor of VB, right?
I thought it was J#.
No, that was last PDC.
Okay.
So
don't even say that it's killing VB. People like...
Yeah, Mary Jo is going to pick this up. And
No. It's all the people that are so sensitive.
Yeah.
Yeah. C++ 10. I love their title. 10 is the new 6.
Nice.
Because everybody was kind of stuck on 6.
Yep.
But they're adding so many great features for the editing experience. Like, and if that stuff trickles down into C++ Express, people are going to absolutely love
it. Oh, heck yeah.
And no project setup, which is great. So you can actually view source files without needing to do the file new project and the ghetto import stuff and all that hard stuff.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So
is that the technical term, ghetto import?
I don't know. I think that's.
Let's
I think
go back
they might.
To this back.
I don't know if that made branding.
Nice. Architecture with VSTS Rosario. So that's all the UML modeling that you can get. Some of that stuff in CTP12, which is the April Community Technology Preview.
Mm-hmm.
But there's more stuff on the way in the PDC timeframe. So we'll be taking a look at that. And then data modeling in the cloud. So
so that's
software
like
services stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So that's we want to build a ridiculously scalable data model. It's not going to be your regular entity model.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how you actually model data so that it's scalable for the cloud.
Yep.
Fascinating stuff.
Cool.
Yeah.
I love this one. Coding for fun.
Yes.
You guys
are
always coming up with some really cool stuff. So what's this one about?
So this is a guy named Andy Conkle.
Okay.
He actually was with us at Maker Faire.
Okay.
But it's called Blue Boss. So the funny thing is, a lot of people have cell phones. A lot of times their Bluetooth is just on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what this does is actually just using the Bluetooth in your laptop, it looks for that and monitors which Bluetooth device. Now, you would need to know which actual ID, Bluetooth
sure.
ID, represents your boss, but that way you can always know if your boss is within range.
That's awesome.
So assuming they have their cell phone on, like, you'll instantly know if they're within range. Now, you're not actually exchanging data. You just know, hey, this cell phone is giving this Bluetooth signal, so therefore I know he's here, and it does a nice little pop-up there.
You know what would be a nice extension to this is to have a list of websites that you shouldn't be at, and automatically, if you have any of those open, automatically close them, like Facebook,
MySpace. Yeah, they do have, a, like, one non-boss button thing, this needs to be integrated
into it. Monster.com, you know, any of those things.
Until your boss's cell phone dies. And
yeah, oops. And,
awkward.
Nice.
So source code's available as well. So,
excellent.
Cool stuff, Andy.
So speaking of source code, how fireworks work. So it turns out fireworks are written in J#. I didn't know
another
this.
Thing.
I didn't
Who
know
knew?
This. Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. But this is cool. It's totally non-coding related, but we got to throw out some explosive love here.
Yeah, so, you know, this shows the actual video of the charge and the thing that it blows up. So there's, like, one little thing that you put in and it shoots it up, and then the actual ball explodes in the air. So,
oh, man.
Yeah, it's kind of fascinating.
Nice. Did you ever read the Anarchist Cookbook back in the day?
I may still have a copy on my old. Yeah, absolutely.
May. Yeah. Okay, so...
Picks of the week!
Pick of the week!
Yeah,
WPF,
so...
WPF custom screensaver art.
Yeah, so this is using WPF and actually building particles, and it's using the Office Communicator settings, so... or the Office Communicator graphics for, hey, I'm not here, I'm not... I am here, I'm mm-hmm. busy, I'm in a meeting, I'm on the phone right now, etc. And it does this cool effect that you see here. Now, the one thing that isn't here...
No names.
So it's not actually connected to communicator status, but that's one of the things that you could easily do to extend it, because communicator, unlike Messenger, actually has APIs where you can pull the status and you can actually write .NET code. So if somebody's using communicator in the office, you can actually build a custom screensaver that gives you a visualization of your status with the person's name and whether they're away or not.
Or Messenger or whatever provider you want to tap into, right?
The provider would have to...
Sure.
Connect into communicator.
Gotcha.
And communicator would have to get their status.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Very cool.
Yeah.
And so my pick of the week, this is kind of a fun one. So so Nick Berardi put together a post based on actually some Google Analytics that mm-hmm.
Their ad planner.
And he ran several top software bloggers through this ad planner to find out which software blogger girls like more.
Mm-hmm. Which had the higher female visitor count.
Exactly. Well, actually, no, he did it based on percentage.
Yes.
So there's a little bit of
controversy.
Drama in here. Controversy. I actually think that that Jeff Atwood should have won because he has the largest raw number of girls visiting the site.
Right.
But in reality, Phil Hack won. Now, Phil has the highest percentage of girls visiting a site. But just kind of a fun thing. Interesting to see what you can do with analytics. And then he draws some interesting conclusions about why he thinks that these had the higher percentage of female visitors. Mm-hmm. Phil Hack, picture of him and his son on the front page of his blog.
None Family man.
Family matters.
Family values.
Definitely. So, all you ladies out there.
So I don't think Jeff or Joel have photos, but I know Scott puts his handsome shot on there.
He does, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Photoshopped and all.
No, I actually checked Popfly, and Popfly had a higher percentage than all of them. It was like at 25% or so.
Oh, really?
Females.
Nice.
Yeah. So.
Good stuff.
Yeah. We couldn't check Channel 9 or any MSDN blog, because it only gives the full MSDN number. Like anything .msdn.com.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah, so we can't compare ourselves.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Otherwise, I'm sure I'd be blowing you out of the water.
Oh, my God. You know how many stalkers I have?
Uh-huh.
Oh, they have to be female?
Yes.
Ooh.
And that's it for the 4th of July episode of This Week on Channel 9.
Thanks, everyone.